Pastor Adam addressed doubt. He spoke along the lines of, it's okay to be a skeptic and have faith. You can take a leap of faith while also having doubts. He essentially gave permission to question and have doubts, which was freeing for so many people. And this is such an important thing to understand when it comes to our faith. Maybe doubt for you was never really talked about or addressed in the beginnings of your faith or growing up. No one gave you permission to explore your doubts and question what you believe to actually figure out what you believe. There can be a lot of fear when it comes to doubt. As a new Christian, maybe you're starting to have some doubts come up and you're not sure if, one, that's okay, and two, you may be asking, do my doubts void the faith that I have? Parents, when your children start to doubt the faith that you have been trying to guide them in, it can be scary. We are going to be talking about doubt this morning, if you haven't caught on. So I want to invite you on a journey with me today. And will you join me? Thank you. I'm a children's and youth pastor. I need that response. Will you join me? Yeah. Awesome, awesome. Let's go. So what is doubt? Simply put, doubt is the uncertainty about the truth. Doubt is being uncertain or unsure. The state of uncertainty or unsureness actually points to our humanness. To doubt is to be human. If you have doubts, you are normal. Okay, take a deep breath. You're normal if you have doubts. Doubting is not a new thing. When you read scripture, there are many, many stories about people and their doubt. I'm going to rattle off a few examples here. Moses in Exodus. He's a really big figure in the Old Testament. And God speaks to Moses through a flaming bush. There's a flaming bush in front of him, and God's speaking to him. And he tells Moses that God is going to use him to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. And Moses replies to God a few times, each with doubt in how qualified he is to carry out what God is wanting him to do. He says, like, who am I to do this? And I can't speak very well. So how am I going to go and talk to Pharaoh and lead a group of people out of slavery? Another example, Gideon. I love this one. Gideon, found in Judges 6. An angel addresses Gideon and calls him a mighty warrior and says that the Lord is with him. Gideon doubts that God is with them because of the circumstances him and his people are in. The angel continues and tells Gideon to go and save Israel, and Gideon doubts his abilities to do what God is saying as he sees that he is the weakest in Manasseh, and the lowest in his family. Then the doubt continues. Gideon tells the angel, if this is really you, don't go. Let me bring an offering first. So be here when I get back. And then the doubt continues even more. Gideon asks God for a sign by placing a piece of wool on the floor. And he says, God, if this is really you speaking, please let the wool be wet and the ground dry. It happens. But then Gideon's like, oh, please don't be angry. I need one more sign here, God. I'm going to pull out that wool again and let the wool be dry, but the ground surrounding it be wet. And again, it happens. But Gideon has constant doubts about himself and what God is asking of him. And Ananias in the New Testament, who is the one God used to heal Saul from his blindness, his story is found in Acts 9. God commands Ananias to go find Saul, and Ananias responds in doubt. But God, this guy has harmed so many of your people. He's come to continue harming people. But God. And I could pull up so many, 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 many more instances where people in the Bible have doubted. Doubt is not a new thing. It's a human thing. How we view doubt will impact how we respond to it. So the first common response to doubt is fear. When you discover a doubt, a natural response might be to be afraid. What does this mean? Why am I doubting this? Am I allowed to have this doubt? A common lie that you might believe is having doubt means that all your faith is void. All your faith is non-existent because you have a doubt. Because doubt is the opposite of faith. While there is truth to doubt being the opposite of faith, doubt does not mean you have no faith at all, or the faith that you do have is now no longer there. Maybe this idea of fearing doubt was something that you grew up in. Maybe you were intentionally taught it, but maybe you were also unintentionally taught it. Maybe you've heard the phrase, "Don't doubt it, just believe." I remember saying that to people growing up. The phrase isn't very helpful when you're in the midst of your doubt. And so you've been naturally molded to fear the doubt that comes up in your life when it comes to faith. But if fear is your viewpoint, then the way you react when doubt comes your way will be to ignore it. Ignoring it doesn't mean it goes away. You're forced to live with it when you ignore it. Out of fear, we shove it under the rug so we don't have to see it or deal with it. Or we shove it in the closet, close the door, so we don't have to deal with it or see it. But it's still there. The book of James mentions doubt in chapter 1. James states this, "The one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind." James continues, "Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do." Doubt that is ignored does not go away. And it will create instability in your life and faith, whether you realize it or not. Ignored doubt creates instability. An ignored doubt can actually create hypocritical behavior. You know that song, "I don't want to be a hypocrite"? Sorry, sidetrack. And this is what I mean by that statement. I'm going to use an example. I say that I trust God with everything. God, I trust you with everything. I mean, we sing that a lot in our songs, and God, I trust you with everything. I trust you, God, because we're supposed to trust you, God, with everything. But I have this doubt, whether I know it or not. God, I doubt your ability to provide. And that doubt will affect how I behave with my finances. So even though I say I trust you, God, with everything, this doubt about God's ability to provide will not allow me to be generous with my finances the way God has called us to be. This is what I say I believe, but my behavior is showing otherwise, because the doubt that's not been dealt with, that I've ignored, is making me be this way. If I allow fear to be the way I view doubt, I will react by ignoring it and just living with it, which will affect my faith. Doubt and fear equals unstable faith. Timothy Keller, in his book, The Reason for God, states this, "A faith without some doubts is like a human body without any antibodies in it. People who blithely go through life too busy or indifferent ask hard questions about why they believe what they believe, as they do, will find themselves defenseless against either the experience of tragedy or the probing questions of a smart skeptic. A person's faith can collapse almost overnight if she has failed over the years to listen patiently to her own doubts, which should only be discarded after long reflection." Doubt with the viewpoint of fear will create an unstable faith. Then there's another way to view doubt besides fear. We can see doubt as an opportunity. I know it's a little weird to hear. If you already see doubt as an opportunity, that's amazing. And I'm excited that you're walking that journey. If you're stuck at viewing doubt with fear, I pray that the Holy Spirit is able to change your perspective on doubt here this morning. To doubt is to be human. We have stated that a bit this morning, and God is not afraid of our humanity. So we do not need to be afraid of our doubt. Pastor Adam Browett stated this on doubt during camp. Doubt is a beautiful wrestle between making an unbelief a belief. And I'm going to extend that a little bit further. To doubt can also be a beautiful wrestle between making a belief an unbelief. Because we're not always correct in our beliefs. And the Holy Spirit might want to change that belief to an unbelief as well. So doubt can be a beautiful wrestle between an unbelief to a belief or a belief to an unbelief. John Williamson, in his interview with Timothy Keller on one of his podcasts, stated this: questioning and doubting the faith leaps that you are taking provides an exhilarating and wonderful opportunity to grow. We can easily see doubt as an enemy to our faith, and this is where we get the fear view of doubt. But doubt is not an enemy, and we need to crush that lie. In the Evangelical Dictionary of Biblical Theology, edited by Walter A. Elwell, the book talks about doubt saying this: it, doubt, prevents us from reaching hasty conclusions or making commitments to unreliable and untrustworthy sources. Doubt is not an enemy. It does not need to be feared. Doubt is an opportunity to grow. When we view doubt as an opportunity, we will react to doubt by engaging with it. Engaging with our doubt is that wrestling that I was talking about, turning an unbelief to a belief or a belief to an unbelief. Timothy Keller in the podcast that I mentioned earlier stated this: doubts are based on something that you are not doubting at the moment. So looking at our money example from earlier, I trust God with everything, but I have this doubt about his provision lingering in the background. That doubt could be based on my belief that I must be in control. Now, depending on what your doubt is, there's so many different beliefs you can have. So I can't tell you, okay, this is the doubt you're having, so this must be the belief that you have. That's something that you have to wrestle with God and allow God to show you those things. So whatever you're doubting, you need to look at that underlying belief that's there, that you're holding on to, that's related to your doubt. This is something that must be done with the Holy Spirit, okay? Engaging with your doubt on your own can be dangerous. God is not afraid of our humanness, so God is not afraid of our doubts. Who better to engage our doubts with than the creator of ourselves and the universe? Partner with the Holy Spirit on that wrestle that you're having with your doubt. Allow him to show you the truth. I want to pose a question to you, okay? And it's just meant to spark some thought here. There's no answer to it. I just want to spark some thought. In the Garden of Eden, the snake planted doubt in Eve's mind in regards to what God was saying. And she dealt with that doubt on her own with the snake. Well, she ended up disobeying God by eating the fruit along with Adam. We know that story. That's what happens. But what if? What if Eve went to God with her doubt before she engaged with it on her own? Who knows what would have happened? There's no answer. But that's just to show you, what if we went to God with our doubt instead of engaging with it on our own? In Mark, there's a story of a dad who brings his son, who is possessed by a demon, to first the disciples, and the disciples can't drive out the spirit, and so they go to Jesus. And Jesus engages with the dad, asking him, how long has this been going on for? And the dad responds, it's been happening since his childhood, and the demon has tried to kill him on many occasions. And the dad asks this, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for the one who believes. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me with my unbelief. Help me overcome my doubt. Let that be your prayer when it comes to wrestling with doubt. Help me overcome my doubt. Show me the truth. There are things that you can engage with. There's things that you can do that you can engage with your doubt. I said these few things before, actually, in my last sermon. Rely on the guidance of the Holy Spirit through prayer. Study God's word and engage with authentic and safe communities. Prayer, the Bible, community. These are tools that God has given us to journey through our faith. Sometimes God will ask you to take a leap of faith before you've even fully dealt with the doubt that you are wrestling with. Don't be afraid to take that leap of faith in the midst of doubt. You do not need to have everything figured out before you take that next step with God. Don't be afraid to take the next step before you have everything figured out. Often when we think of doubt with the Bible, Doubting Thomas comes up. Oh, Doubting Thomas. He gets this nickname because the other 10 disciples saw Jesus physically, but Thomas wasn't there. And the disciples go to Thomas and tell him, we have seen Jesus. And Thomas responds along the lines of, I won't believe it till I see it. I won't believe it until I can see and touch the holes in his hands and the gouge in his side. Thomas doubted what the disciples told him. But Doubting Thomas is not the right name. It really should be the Doubting Disciples. Because the other 10 disciples did the exact same thing that Thomas did. When Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and James's mom Mary said that they had seen Jesus, they also doubted. I'm going to read this here. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. If all these disciples at one point doubted, and believe me, Scripture talks about many other times the disciples doubted. If all these disciples doubted, and God used them in amazing ways and incredible ways, God can use you even when you doubt. Your doubt does not disqualify you. Your doubt does not disqualify you. Engaging with doubt will create a stronger faith, one that is confident and knowing what it believes. The rest of the quote from Timothy Keller that I read earlier states this: believers should acknowledge and wrestle with doubts, not only their own, but their friends and neighbors. It is no longer sufficient to hold beliefs just because you inherited them. Only if you struggle long and hard with objections to your faith will you be able to provide grounds for your beliefs to skeptics, including yourself, that are plausible rather than ridiculous or offensive. And just as important for our current situation, such a process will lead you, even after you come to a position of strong faith, to respect and understand those who doubt. Which leads to my final important point to discuss when it comes to doubt. All of us need to become a safe space for those who are doubting. All of us need to become a safe space for those who are doubting. An unsafe space for doubt screams that we need to fear doubt. And we explored what happens when we fear doubt. So we all need to be a safe space for people to engage with their doubt, a safe space for people to ask the hard questions and voice the battle that is going on in their minds, a safe space to lift up and see what's hiding under the rug. That is a major value that I try to develop in any of my ministries and in any conversation that I have, because it is so important. So how do we be a safe space for people? James 1:19 says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." When someone comes to you and expresses doubt, the doubt that they're wrestling with, one, it probably has taken them a lot of courage to come to you and express it. And two, they're probably seeking a place where they can be heard. We need to be quick to listen. Which is better? Someone who voices the doubt and we quickly say, "But this is what the Bible says. Don't doubt, just believe. This is what the Bible says." Or someone who voices their doubt and in response they hear, "Would you mind telling me more?" Which feels safer? Which would you be safer in, feel safer in? When someone is met with a gentle, "Tell me more," and a listening ear, that is the beginning of a safe place for them. And then you may be invited on a journey with this individual to help them engage their doubt and turn that unbelief into a belief, or that belief into an unbelief, guided by the Holy Spirit. We are called to love other people. And this is a way that we can love those who are wrestling with doubt. Parents and spiritual parents, if your physical or spiritual children are showing signs of doubt, that is normal. Do not be afraid. Do not panic. Brett Allman, in his book called Parenting, Navigating Everything, he quotes Gary Chapman's book, The Five Love Languages of Teenagers. When the teenager questions the parents about basic beliefs, wise parents welcome the questions, seek to give honest answers in a non-authoritarian manner, and encourage the teenager to continue to explore these ideas. In other words, they welcome the opportunity to dialogue with the teenager about the beliefs that they have espoused through the years. If, on the other hand, the parents reject the teenager's questions, perhaps heaping guilt upon him for even thinking that the parents' beliefs may be incorrect, the teenager is forced to go elsewhere to share his questions. Brett Allman then continues, "We want our kids to come to us when they're working through their questions. But they'll only come to us if we're careful to create safe environments for these discussions. Our fears often shut down questions." So the first step to being a safe place for doubt to be engaged with is to be quick to listen and slow to speak. In order for our church to reach our vision, that's why I pulled this up, our vision here, an authentic community where lives are made new in Christ, an authentic community. An authentic community. In order for our church to reach that, to be an authentic community, we need to be a safe community where we ourselves and those who are exploring our doubts are safe to explore those doubts and safe to express those doubts. I pray that the doubt you have in your life, that you have maybe swept under the rug and ignored for a time, maybe a long time, maybe a little time. I pray that the Holy Spirit helps you view this as an opportunity and not something to be feared. I also pray that you would engage your doubt with God through prayer, digging into the Word, and engaging with a safe community of believers. Your doubts do not disqualify you. To doubt is to be human. God is not afraid of our humanness, so we do not need to be afraid of our doubts. So where are you on this pathway? Where are you on this pathway? Do you see that doubt is something to be feared, and therefore you've been ignoring it? But can you allow the Holy Spirit to change your view on doubt? A doubt is an opportunity to grow, and you can partner with God to engage your doubt. And therefore, creating a faith that is stable, that is strong, and built on the rock of Jesus. So, what are you doubting? I want to invite you to engage with your doubt. What are you doubting? I'm going to invite the worship team back up, and I'm just going to pray to conclude here. Heavenly Father, thank you that you created us, that you love us, and that you are not afraid of the doubts that we have. You are bigger and are able to handle our doubts. You welcome us with open arms, even when we have doubts engulfing us. I pray over the people here this morning that have been afraid of doubt. I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would surround them with peace that is beyond understanding, and that you would change their fear to a belief that doubt is an opportunity. Thank you, God, that you do not leave us in our doubt, but you come right to us where we are at. Help us take leaps of faith even when we do not have everything figured out. Help us not let our doubts hold us back from the next step with you. Holy Spirit, also show us how we can be a safe space for other people who are needing to explore the doubts that they have. Help us at Bethel Church to be a safe space. Amen.